first speaker we have tonight is Ron B. from Washington, PA.
Yeah, I'm an addict. My name's Ron. And I thought I was going to kind of sit down, and I see we're standing. Then Jeremy said, we've got to stand for my recovery. So I'll stand, and it doesn't matter to me. You know, when I'm asked to share my experience, strength, and hope, whenever I get to wherever that's happening, and I always go to the bathroom and hit my knees, and that's what I did tonight. And it's really clean in there, so that's kind of nice to have a clean bath. And nobody was in there, so that's pretty cool too. You know, I always lock the stall, you know, and do that thing. But that's it works for me. I've always done that, and that's how I was shared. You know, to do that. You know what I mean? And that's why I do it. Remember when Dan, he asked me to share, you know, I said, what's the date? Because sometimes with my work schedule, I got to watch and other family functions and everything else, it can get real crazy. But the date was open, so it was good. And it was an honor to be asked to come up here and share my experience, strength, and hope. And I said, Dan, what am I speaking on? He said, it don't matter. Whatever you want, do what Kevin did last year. And there's no way I can fault Kevin. I mean, you know, he had his little bag. He had the red book. He had all his paraphernalia out. And I love Kevin. I've known him since, wow, I think he was 16 or 15. He went into Greenbrier, a treatment center in Washington, PA. So he's always been real special there. But, you know, and whenever I'm at, I always kind of go back. My mind goes back to what it was like in the beginning and how I got here. And that's kind of the topic a little bit, how we got here and what it's like today, what's going on today. And I was telling Scott coming up here, it's kind of, this is truly a worldwide fellowship where Narcotics Anonymous is having a little convention in Uniontown in Fayette County, which we call Fayette-Naum. And then the Brownsville meeting, it's meeting now, had their picnic in Republic for the last few years. And I've been kidding with Mac and Tony and them guys that we're definitely a worldwide fellowship now, because these were just little pods that were just self-centered. And the reason I can share that is because this is where I grew up. is right here in Fayette County, right down the road is where I grew up at. And my first NA meeting was in Dormont. But you know, it was on a Thursday night, and then Saturday Jefferson meeting, and then when I come back around, I made the Thursday meeting here in Uniontown. There was a Narcotics Anonymous meeting in Uniontown at the health center. A guy named John Rogers was put that together and was following it, you know, in 83, because my clean date's 8/22 of 83. And I started coming around that summer. And NA took off, you know, right before that. That third East Coast Convention was in Robinson, and, you know, it was in Pittsburgh. And it just, this is the end result. So, not the end result, this is the result of what that third East Coast Convention did. Tri-State region, you know, is strong. It's very strong. I mean, because I've been to a lot of meetings up and down this coast, and sometimes it takes, you got to freaking drive a half. I'm like, I got to drive a half an hour to go to an NA meeting. Well, you know, where I live in Washington, PA, and like I can get to any meeting every day of the week in like 3 minutes. It's a blessing to have that. But I know when I first got here, I had to drive. I drove to Pittsburgh, drove to Morgantown, you know, to make an NA meeting, and then that's what it was. I got here because I had a drug habit. You know what I mean? I was strung out with drugs, and I got here with desperation. I think, like everybody else, a lot of desperation. You know, and I said that prayer, God, please help me. And I ended up at Narcotics Anonymous, and I ended up in my doctor's office, who I got many prescriptions off of, and waited there many, many, many hours to get a prescription. But he knew of Narcotics Anonymous when the time was right. When I was at my aunt's house, hitting the bottom for the umpteenth time, but that day I said, I need help with a drug problem. And never knew that before. I mean, you know, running wild, running crazy, in that circle, nobody talked about getting clean, stopping. It just didn't happen. I mean, it happened when you crashed head-on into a telephone pole and died, or whatever, when you went to jail. And I was sharing with Scott coming up here, too. Really good friends of mine down in Miami. I've known them forever. Not forever, but since I was a young kid. Because my parents, I was in trouble. And my parents' best thinking was, you got to go to Florida, go to Miami with your grandparents. They'll help you. And they helped me, all right, because they had no rules, no regulations. My great uncle down there had a great restaurant. My cousin had a great bar. It was a major hangout. The DEA on one side, the drug dealers on the other, and I fit right in. And it didn't take long to get in trouble down there, big trouble. But I was sharing, these guys are real sick right now, two of them. My cousin is and a good friend, just with health problems from not finding this program, you know, from using and abusing for years, 30 years, 40 years. And I've been staying away from going down there, and I got to go down there in the next 2 weeks to go fishing with Doug. Then my cousin Billy calls. He finds out I'm coming down. I got to go see him. And I've not been wanting to go down there and cry with these guys, you know, because I love them. My buddy Doug, I was telling Scott, all three of his brother, his dad, and him, they all three went to prison. You know, and I was all part of that, but they never told. They never told. And I've been friends with those guys forever. The same way with my cousin, all the shit that we did down there. So I made my rounds, you know what I mean? But for some reason, when I was here in Fayette County in Republic, PA, you know, that bottom stuck. You know what I mean? It happened. You know, I found Narcotics Anonymous. And like I said, back in 83, it was just a few meeting lists, names on the list, but they was there. Pittsburgh had meetings, Morgantown had some meetings, Washington had some meetings, you know, and I was loved into this fellowship. I was welcomed here, I was loved here, and that miracle happened, you know, that I come to believe in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, and I am truly a product of Narcotics Anonymous. And there's definitely a history with me and NA and a lot of dumb shit that I've done, you know, in meetings. But, you know, I'm here. I stayed here. You know, there's times I've drifted away thinking I know better and I can do something different, and that never has worked. You know, I've hit just as many bottoms cleaned, I think, as I did using, and cried out those prayers, God, please help me. You know, and I hate that when I'm clean and I'm hitting that bottom like that. But, you know, the prayers are answered. You know, the prayers are answered. You know, and it was small. The fellowship was small. You know, but NA was here. The program was here. 12 steps, 12 traditions. They were solid. They were there. You know, we didn't divert from them. You know, starting a lot of meetings, going to a lot of meetings, running around. I remember when those guys were going over to Steubenville. You know, Rich was real involved, and Kathy and those guys. And, you know, they're not with us today. Sometimes I think about this stuff and I get real emotional, but that's just where my mind has went this last couple of days. You know, they talk about you give a lead before, a lead during, and a lead after, and I've kind of moved away from that for a long time and not really given a lot of those leads, but I just go back to a lot of memories. Hey, Kev. And, you know, so, you know, Scott's been a dear friend of mine. John A. has been a really dear friend of mine. The journey we've been on, you know, with Narcotics Anonymous, you know, it's been with N.A., you know, that's been the beautiful thing. You know, I mentioned your name, Kev, already about knowing you since you were like 16 or 15 and following your lead from last year. But it's just my story, you know what I mean? And I do remember, you know, way back. It is way back. You know, I always said I want to grow old in Narcotics Anonymous, and I'm doing that. What I really should have been saying and I really want to do today is grow up. I'm trying to grow up. You know, my grandkid says, Pappy's big for five. And I can cry like a baby and whine just like a five-year-old when I don't get my way and I'm truly self-centered and it's all about me. You know, but, you know, through the steps, that's one thing nice about Narcotics Anonymous. Through these steps, through these traditions, you know, I can stop and regroup and surrender and ask God for help, you know, like I do, and come back around. And I know this fellowship is so forgiving and so loving. Every time it's been there for me that way, every time. You know, like I said, Uniontown, meetings here. You know, in 83, Narcotics Anonymous was here. And I remember last year when these guys were putting this together, I just couldn't believe they were having a convention in Uniontown. Because I've kind of was around here for several years, staying clean and doing what I do for the first three, four years. And, well, I guess my mind's going here. I thought about this when Ricky P. came from out east. This area changed a lot. And I really didn't want to go there, but, you know, that's where my mind's at. But that it's reality. It's history. You know, he came, and then he started that Saturday night meeting here in Uniontown. And it's been controversial ever since, from the group level to the area level to the regional level. There's people called the World Service Office on that friggin' meeting in Ricky. But he stood his ground. I mean, he stayed there with it and believed it. in it, and it was like, they're not reading the traditions at that meeting. You don't have to. You know what I mean? They're not reading the steps at that meeting. You don't have to. You can't wear a hat in that meeting. You know, it's their group. It's their meeting. It's Narcotics Anonymous. And, you know, the freaking regions down there beating them up. And the areas are beating them up. That meeting's still there. And it helps people. You know, I've been to the point over the last couple of years, people that I've seen struggle for 30 years couldn't get clean. I said, dude, you got to go to Uniontown and get on that farm and just freaking hang out with them guys. And they will feed you. They will give you cigarettes. And as long as you don't take nothing, as soon as you take something, you're fucked. I mean, you'll be back here in Washington or Pittsburgh going to NA meeting, you know, just using and abusing. But if you stay there and don't take nothing, you can recover. And they do. You know what I mean? I've seen it. And I didn't agree with it in the beginning, and I did like most addicts do. I like to run. When shit gets fucked up, I run. And that's what I did back then. I wasn't comfortable with, and I met a girl, so that makes a big difference too. So I ran towards it, the girl, and she was down towards Washington on the other side of the river. And it got me away from that meeting, and it got me more hooked up in Washington. And it's been good. It's been a true blessing. You know what I mean? That's where my recovery is. My parents still live up here, and I go see them every week, every week. You know, sometimes I think they forget it. I'm an addict and I'm clean, but then they remember. You know, because a couple times my sister was living there, they'd be like, "Did you take that cough syrup?" I said, "I did not take your cough syrup, Dad. I don't want it. I didn't take it. Look at her over there. She can't even move. I think that's who took your cough syrup." You know, but you know, and then when I first got here, I truly thought I was the black sheep of the family. I thought I was all the problem, and I was at the time. It was all pointed towards me, and I was glaring with problems and trouble and didn't care. And I know today it's not true. You know, I really wasn't. I'm not that black sheep. I got some fucked up sisters. You know what I mean? You know, the same way sometimes with my parents. I love them to death. They were a really good family. Grow up, church, meeting, not me, but Sunday dinners at 5 o'clock. You know, my father went to work every day. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. Four younger sisters, you know, but I was never comfortable there. I was comfortable in this little town that was nuts. It was a mob hangout, and my grandfather hung out there, my uncles did, and I liked that. I liked that a lot better than when I saw my dad going to work every day, and I fell right into that. And I know today what my history is. If I don't stay here and stay accessible, available in the middle of this thing, I go right back to that stuff. I really do, and I've done it clean. You know, I thought I was like part of that Soprano type thing, you know what I mean? Clean, gambling, you know, all that crazy stuff. But, and that's just my history, you know. So I know if I'm not in the middle of this, going to meetings regularly, making myself accessible, available, being asked to share my experience, strength, and hope, you know, reaching out to that newcomer and trying to help them. And then next thing you know, will you sponsor me? Next thing I know, I got my phone blowing up from 5 till 7 o'clock every night. But it comes in waves. It really does. And it's okay. You know, I mean, it's what we do. I answer my phone. You know what I mean? And I was coming up here with Scott when the phone rings. Didn't know the number, but I still answer those phone numbers. I know a lot of people block calls and don't answer calls. I just pick it up, you know, and go through it. It's just part of that. Because, you know, I got up this morning, I hit my knees, read the Just for Today, did my prayers the way I do them, you know, got in my hot tub to do my meditation type thing. You don't need a freaking $9,000 hot tub to do that. But, you know, I thought I did it one time, you know. But I still use it. It's good for me. So I truly turned it over. You know, I'm an addict today. Every day I'm an addict. I turned it over. And now I got to be, if I'm grateful, I got to have action. It's an action word. And I try to do that. And I am right there today in the middle. Sometimes I don't like being in the middle. I'd rather be on the end a little bit. But I know I'll fall off because I've done it. You know, stayed around Washington, stayed clean, you know, real strong, met my wife there, stayed clean in recovery. A lot of good stuff. John and Scott come around, you know, a lot of good people. My weed has changed so many times over my recovery. It's just constantly changing, which is a good thing. You know what I mean? That we needs to change. You know, Jeremy been real special hanging out with him this last year. You know, I need that. I need, you know, the addict is the most important person. You know, we need those new people coming in here, sharing our experience, strength, and hope, the steps, the traditions, you know, that repetition. I need it so much because I can get away quick. I mean, I can do all my readings, I can pray, go to a meeting. I'll be totally freaking crazy here before the end of the day sometimes. But that comes down to that watching the secrets, not keeping secrets. Real important. I learned that real early on, then I kind of drifted away from it for a while. And kind of how that stuff happened. My wife relapses like 13 years clean, and that truly put me over the edge. And keeping the secrets, you know what I mean, all that craziness right there. And then my best thinking, you know, I was like in the middle of whatever I was doing, friggin' restaurants. I want a liquor license, you know, I want 5 poker machines. And then upstairs I want a freaking dice table, bar boot table, blackjack table. And you got to watch what you pray for, God, because it happens. And it can get ugly. And I've been really careful with that over the last few years. That's part of that keeping the secrets. If you keep them secrets and you're not getting that stuff out there and talking about it, and then our one buddy Steve Devlin always says, water seeks its own level. It always has for me, and it still does. So I got to keep a check on that and try to have those good people in recovery around me who are not going to co-sign my bullshit just because I got X amount of years. And that can happen quickly sometimes around here. But, you know, I'm here today, you know, doing what I do. Involved with PI, because I'm involved with service. It's just where I landed. I wasn't real comfortable with it, but I wanted to do something when I come back around, you know, hanging out here. And it worked good in the area level. You know, I've seen, like they talk about the tri-state region and the coffee pot and resentment. They talk about starting meetings, and it went to areas and regions, you know, and all that good stuff. But, you know, it's the mission that's happened. It's the journey that we've been on. It's been real good, you know. The controversy that always comes, and it's always there. We were talking the other day. I know when PASDA kind of broke off, and they were real strong, and that is a rinkety-dinkety area right now. You know, but I love a lot of them guys down there. You know, they're trying. Steubenville, that area is folded. It's not there anymore. Just because somebody took some freaking money, who cares? You know what I mean? Same way with that freaking East Coast Convention. You know, I really enjoyed being there this last year at the 30th. You know what I mean? But several years ago, they loved taking all that money. You know, but that's how forgiving this fellowship is. You know, we just forgive people and come on back in. And it needs to be that way. You know, that's the traditions. But, you know, I know I need to be clean to be a part of this, to be sharing, to be chairing, to be involved with the area level. I just have come from it and believe in 100% abstinence. No maintenance drugs, and I'm talking about methadone. And then this friggin' methadone clinic started opening up all over town. And there's one here in Uniontown. It's been controversial, too. It's still there, and it ain't going nowhere because it's about all the money, you know, and it always is. Because I know money, property, and prestige has gotten me in so much trouble so many times before I was clean and since I've been clean. Like I said, it's real forgiving. They asked me to come up and share, and I was thinking, what am I going to talk about, you know what I mean? So when I turned it over, I just turned it over, and I just started sharing. And I'm still thinking in my mind in the back, what about the World Service and all this craziness that's going on? But that's the journey we're on. I truly believe from prayer to prayer, if you have that God-centered group conscience, and that's where it's going, that's where it starts from, it will be okay. We may crash and burn, and we'll fix it when we fuck it up. Like Scott was sharing last night, his home group, 27 years. You know, I remember being a part of that down in Manesson. Frank Salotti, who was a therapist, not an addict, started that Manesson meeting, helped get it started with a few guys. And then Tom Provarnik, he was my sponsor at the time. And Frank said, hey, we want to start a meeting at this treatment center. And I remember being a part of that. And I remember being in there. And that meeting's still going on with a lot of stability, like Scott said. 15 years in that facility, 7-8 years in another one, 7 or 8 years where they're at. They got a good group conscience going from prayer to prayer. And they watch it and they keep it going. That's what we do. You know, the tri-state region, the convention, the spiritual retreat, that stuff's going, it's going strong. And those are the two things that I do like going to every year. The spiritual retreat, and I always went to them. Even in my crazy times, I'd show up, like Kevin talks about, drive-by recovery. You know, I'd just stand in the hallway talking shit, not going to the right meetings, not doing any of that good stuff. And Paul said, my sponsor, Paul Shirey, said, Ron, he says, you almost had this one guy beat for not calling me. Well, this one other buddy was in Florida for years and never called him. Because when I'm doing stupid shit and dumb stuff, I don't call Paul. And Paul does not call me. He is not going to pick that phone up and call me. I mean, he may call me and want to do some social stuff, but it's about recovery. He is not calling me. And that's just how it is. I need to call him. And I called him today. And I always call when I have to lead or share. I call my sponsor because I've always done that. I talk to the voice message, but that's okay. It counts. You know, I didn't get there in text. You know what I mean? And I've kind of not been stuck on that one. But, you know, coming up here, last year I came up here to this the history workshop up here. It was good. I enjoyed it Friday night and then Saturday. You know, and I get here and I hear people speak sometimes for a long time, and I've always been on that 20 minutes. Anything over 20 minutes is bullshit, and I'm still stuck on that anything over 20 minutes stuff. When Dan said, you know, we got a lot of time here tonight, and I said, Dan, you got the wrong guy for a lot of time, because it's not me. And I asked Lisa, when did she want to go first or second? She said she'd rather go second. So that was fine with me, because I really didn't care. You know, I'd already turned it over, and I was going to get up here and share. And I kind of already talked about where I'm at today. And it's just what I do. You know, like this whole week has been good. That's what I've been doing, just for today stuff. I am really a just for today guy. Sometimes that's not good either. You got to watch that stuff. But, you know, all week, you know, I mean, I've been real involved with recovery all week. You know, last Sunday involved, last Saturday, we went to Butler. A group of us always to take a road trip. We went on the motorcycles, three of us, and it rained freaking hard last Saturday, like 7, 8 o'clock. But we made it up there and back. You know, Wednesday, made the meeting that I always go to, my one good friend's there, John Mel, he's been coming around here for freaking 30 years almost, 28 years. He's coming up on a year here pretty soon, which is great. You know, and Thursday, went to the anniversary meeting, you know, and then some, boom, here I am right here, getting ready to come up to this one, thinking about recovery all day. You know, people calling me, you know, I got a lot of people calling me, but I also have to make them phone calls too, and I do that. I do reach out and make calls. You know, I'm kind of winding down. You know, this history thing, it's history, it's history. It is what it is. You can't change it. You know, look back on it and try to learn from it and grow from it. You know, look at those mistakes that we've made. There have been a lot of bumps in the road, but through that loving God, that prayer to prayer, and those group consciences, you know, we're here, and it's coming up on 60 years. You know, next year, the World Convention in Philadelphia. I'm excited about going there. I wanted to go 2 years ago to San Diego. My wife didn't want to go. She's just coming up on a year. She was being weird, you know. But so we didn't go. You know, and that's okay. I didn't have to go. You know what I mean? So I do want to go to the Philadelphia one. I'm already excited about it. I want to get my reservation in and be there. You know, my wife today has coming up on, she has 2 years. Yeah, she has 2 years. So that's been a real mess, real blessing for me. I know that, in Narcotics Anonymous. And she's a dope fiend. I mean, and she don't go out on the street. She is prescription doctor. Her father was a doctor. You know, you talk about that a little bit. I remember when I was at the end of my road, I said my best thinking was, if I only found a nurse whose father was a doctor, you know, I would be set. And then I get clean, my wife's a nurse, her father was a doctor. You know, I remember the first time walking in that house, my wife said, don't touch nothing, don't take nothing from my mom and dad. You know what I mean? Because there'd be freaking gallon jug of Quaaludes. You know what I mean? A drug room filled up with drugs. I'd look. But, you know, back then I wouldn't even touch it. You know what I mean? And I still don't. You know, I don't touch that stuff. Even when Judy was using it, it was in the house. I wouldn't open those doors. I wouldn't do anything. Other than when she went to treatment, I had to clean the house out. And I had to, all the little cuffs and pockets, she had shit hit everywhere. Finally, I just took everything to the mission with the dope in it. Said, fuck it. Take it all. She can buy new clothes. And I didn't tell anybody down there what might be in it. They can figure it out. You know, so... You know, and, you know, where I'm at today is good. You know what I mean? I never thought I could be where I'm at, you know, with the job, with God, with the fellowship. You know, my best thinking, my best dreaming couldn't even put me to where I'm at today. You know, my job is good. I hang out with a lot of really smart people, real smart people, and they make a lot of money, and they really intimidate me at times. But they value my opinion and what I have to say, and they ask me. And I've learned all that from area service, from the steps, from the traditions, from regional service, all them freaking meetings I've sat in. And sometimes I think, what did I learn the most? I think it's just keep my mouth shut. And I've not learned that yet. I really haven't. Because I can go off. I mean, it wasn't. I mean, I go off quick. Certain people and things, and I know some went why because I'm as nuts as them, and I see that stuff in me. But I can get jammed up too, real bad. You know, I've been the guy that throws somebody freaking in the face with hot coffee and a donut at a meeting. You know, and that's not good. Not good. Did it once. We'll never do it again. Never do it again. In the same way at a convention, I'm not going off on people anymore. Not going to do it. I've done it. You know, just total nuts. So, you know, that's what's beautiful about the fellowship. You know what I mean? I can say my prayers, work the steps, make those amends, and move on. You know what I mean? You've got to make amends. It's real important. So working the steps, real important. Practice of traditions in all my affairs have been real important to me. And I've done that, and I do that. And I'm real slow and real lazy. I'm a lazy addict. But, you know, I get my ass up and do the work. So that's it for me, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Ron. Our next speaker is Lisa H. from Monongahela, PA.
Hi, everybody. My name's Lisa, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. It is nice to be here. It's funny, Scott asked me out in the hallway, how long do you have clean? And I didn't want to go there. I was even called one of our home group members and said, didn't want to say where I was at. And I think with that with Scott, it was like, I don't know, I'm getting to feel older. I'm getting asked to speak here and then at the dinosaur meeting, you know, and it's like, how long? I have 29 years clean now. And it's like, that must, you know, can do the math, and it's like now it means I'm getting older in that time, you know. I come in 83 too, April 15th, which has always been funny for me because my dad was an accountant, and so tax day was always a big day in our house and that, and it just happened that way, though, no planning, no nothing. I just want to ditto everything Ron said because there was so much, you know, when you get us together, there's just so much coincidences and so much we have that is so familiar with each other and the same things that we all have been through and done and been there and done that. And I don't know, when I came in here, it was... you know, I had asked God, I lengthened my prayer a little bit, and I had said, instead of, Ron said, just get me out of here, it was get me the hell out of this life, you know. And I wanted to die, and he has a sense of humor, because my girlfriend showed up and the next day, and she said, we're going to a meeting, you know. And she, I was scared to go to them, though, didn't want to go, didn't know what they would be about. And she was smart enough, she let me get high, and then I went. And went to one in the city of Pittsburgh, and it was a big old crazy meet. And I'm like, all these people are clean, like they're laughing and having a good time, and it was just... it was just really good to see. I hadn't seen anybody smile and laugh in a long, long time. And it was just really neat to see that life didn't have to be that way anymore. And I went through a little bit of the, in those days, way back when, when we had to walk to school in the snow through 2 miles. We didn't have cell phones. It was before the day of crack and what's the other ones, the drinks that came out since then. Oh, I don't know, but there's so much that, you know, had changed. But you had to go to 3 meetings to be able to get into a detox. And then I remember Nurse Jackie trying to help me out and get in one. and I was jonesing in the meeting, sitting there, and I, you know, wanted to get high, and I first went in and I went to the Brookline meeting, and Chucky was there, and Chucky S., and I had known him from the streets, and last seen him selling him like a pound of reefer and that, and he's at a meeting, and he would take me to some meetings, and I'd say, you know, I don't know if I can do this, I'm really feeling bad, and they'd say, just, you know, there's another meeting after that, and we went to Roop Street, and I called somebody up and was trying to line up something to get high on. And I went to the 8 o'clock meeting at Roop Street, and they said, you know what, there's another one at midnight. Just, you know, can't take you there right now, you know, so just hang on for a little bit longer. And I went to the midnight meeting, and I don't know, you know, something happened there, and, you know, it was like that light bulb went off or something happened, and it was like, you know what, I called off going to get high. And, you know, it was one meeting after another, and even though in those days there wasn't, you know, a whole bunch of meetings, and we did the pow in the van and pow in everybody's car, and we go down to Wheeling to the dances, and, you know, we did make recovery a lot of fun. We had fun, too. I was lucky in those days too. I drove a cab, so I got to, if there was a meeting going on and I didn't have any trips, I'd get to stop and go to different meetings during the day, so that was nice too. Went to a spiritual retreat, and Cindy Kay like knew I was nervous about being there, and I was really shy with women. Didn't like you women too much when I first come in here, because I hung out with the guys because they were more fun and weren't so serious, and I don't know, I've gotten over that a lot since. Some of my best friends are women now. You know, so Cindy, she grabbed me and said, you're with me, you'll be okay this weekend. And I had a good time at the spiritual retreat, and then we had area service right after that, and I had no idea what area service was, and I had about 6 months clean, and it was down on Avery Street, down in Northside. That had been one of the first meetings I knew about, too, back then, and one of my meetings I would go to all the time, and went there, and Linda was my sponsor, Linda D., and as a good sponsor, they said, anybody want to be secretary of the area? And she kindly held up my hand for me. I didn't know what I was even getting into. So there were like 14 groups when I started out that year, and by the end of that year, there were 42 groups. I thought that was pretty neat that we had seen so much growth in that 1 year. There was Joey B. and Sean. We started up that meeting in Beechwood, so that was kind of neat. We'd be there if there was only one or two people there. A lot of good times. I have always... like back then you could sponsor and speak when you had about 6 months clean, and I like that too. It's Scott was saying before that, you know, oh, I wanted to speak. Yeah, sure, I'll speak, you know, and I wanted to tell my story, and I as you can kind of tell, I'm not crazy about doing this yet, you know. But I like doing it if it'll, you know, when I'm hitting my knees in that bathroom too, which was pretty clean. Usually you get little marks on your knees that'll show you've hit them in some of the bathrooms, but no, none today I noticed. That when, you know, I asked to just please take this and help somebody out that, you know, whatever I've been through before, you know, help me get that out. So if somebody needs help and has been there, I don't know. I love NA, you know, and I've always loved this program since I've come in it. You know, I did my year when I was secretary, and it was kind of hard. I had to get the minutes out for the thing, and then we'd go to PI and they'd get approved there, and then I had to type all this stuff on this little old dinky typewriter and had to go somewhere and get them all copied, and it was a lot of work when I was working pretty full time to try to get by too, and then go to meetings. And sometimes I said it was kind of dangerous because having to watch how much I did and you know, not always get enough sleep, and you know, the halt syndrome, and just, you know, sometimes it was a little dangerous. But I think what happened too was the good outweighed the bad, and it got me around people I would never get around if I hadn't got involved in stuff like that, that it ended up being really good for me. You know, I keep watching people to see what they do and try to do what the winners do, and you know, hopefully I had learned too from that to try to keep my mouth shut a little bit too, you know, that I've seen the people who always are so gung-ho or bent on something and that sometimes they just don't always stick around here, you know, and I don't know. I learn things all the time. We were going through something recently where some things had got stolen from around our house and that, and somebody said to me, well, now you know what it's like to be on the other end of it, you know, and it's like, yeah, I do know, you know, it's hard when you're going through it, that, you know, I didn't realize like what my addiction did to people around me. You know, I didn't realize the different kinds of hurts and that, and you know, our addiction takes its toll on a lot of people, and you know, it's one thing, it's like, I know the people that are probably doing it are strung out and you know, need the money for stuff. So, you know, that gets me by and a little bit better thinking about what they're going through and that. And I, you know, do wish they'd get help too. I don't know. I've just always felt so blessed coming here. When I first got clean, I was scared to death about going into a rehab. I don't know why they had scared me so bad. So when my parents came, said, come down to Puerto Rico, because they were living down there. That was my Florida. I said, sure, I'll come down. And my dad, who didn't know a lot about staying clean, he said, looks like you need a meeting, you know, you're not doing very good, because it had been like 2 or 3 days since I had been to one. I had about 2 or 3 months clean when I went down to Puerto Rico, and it was pouring down rain, and I couldn't find the meeting, and running around, and I had to go into a bar, and because that, they gave me the address, and it was the address, but I'm like, it can't be at a bar, you know. So here it was above a bar. It was the other fellowship. But in Puerto Rico, if you wanted to go to an English-speaking meeting, you there was only another one NA, and that was across the island, so I hadn't made it to that one. And I learned a lot of good things there. You know, I remember the one guy was saying, why don't they trust me? You know, I got 2 months clean and nobody still trusts me. And, you know, we all said to him, like, you know, how long did you get high? You know, I don't know. I mean, this whole program just keeps teaching me daily on a daily basis, you know. And if it's not, you know, from the book or something like that. It's from the people I know. My sponsees teach me that all the time, and that, and they even have things to say, you know, like maybe you need to be around people your own age sometimes, and you know, it's just there's so much, like there's so many tricks to this, and you know, like I used to try to sponsor people on my own, and I was their everything, and then it's like, you know what, I can't do it alone. I can't tell you everything. I can't have all the answers. There's just so much that you get from different people, and, you know, that everybody has so much to give, or that you know, I don't know, I can't quite put it in words, but just that, you know, we get little bits and pieces from everybody, you know, and it's just so important. I took in Annie and Melissa when I was first clean, and they were, I was all of 24, and they were like 16 and 15 at the time, and they were the ones who got me around it, and we'd go to the dances all the time and that, and I was always just grateful that they had this knowledge in their head, you know. A lot of the people from back then, you know, there's some they're still around. A lot of them aren't, though, and a lot, you know, unfortunately, we'll see them at the convention in the gone but not forgotten things. That's a shame, you know. I learned from that, though, that I guess the biggest thing I've ever learned by coming here is that whatever, you know, whatever seems bad, that nothing's ever going to get better by using, you know, and that there's always something more in my program that I can do better, you know, before I ever take that first one. I don't know, you know, a lot of this is, you know, my history and where I've come from, but that's like all I know is, like, I can tell from where I've been and how I've done it. And I just, you know, I know whatever I do, that I can do it better, that, you know, if I've ever felt that need to, you know, or want to get high again, it's always been, no, you know, there's something in your program you're not doing. You're not calling enough people. You're not staying in close contact with people. You know, maybe you need to work a certain step again. It's always been something more that I can do with myself. And, you know, it's just not to give up before that miracle happens. You know, we tell people, you know, call us before you pick up. You know, don't pick up that first one till you've made that phone call, you know, till you've given it your all. And you know, just these tricks of staying clean, and you know, the things I've learned here with the steps and the traditions, you know. I don't have that hot tub. I have my shower that I use. It just, for some reason, you know, it's like the water or something, and then talk to God, and I hear the best things that I hear there. When I'm taking my walks through the woods, I hear the things then that, you know, it's just, this is what we have, and to make the best of it, you know. And today, because of NA, I love being clean. You know, I would not trade this life for anything. You know, we've been through a lot of hurts and pains and that, but today I enjoy feeling and being able to experience things that, you know, if I used, it would be all covered up, and even no matter how hard it is, you know, we went through a time where my parents both died within 5 months of each other, and oh, it was a really hard time. You know, one of the other things I see for other people that's really hard is, having to take medicine in recovery, you know, and that just, this is all my personal stuff here and what I've learned, but we've been really, I met my husband in these rooms, and we've been really lucky to, like, we'll call somebody. He had just got some dental work done, and we'll call somebody and said, you know, I'm afraid for him to go home without something. You know, he just had all this work done, and what if he wakes up in all this pain? What do we do? What do we do? And his one friend said, you know, I know you, and Motrin works, you know. Did you get the pharmacy script of that, you know? And we said, no, we didn't, you know. So he got that, and that worked, you know. Another time, I went and talked to the pharmacist. I said, I hate getting this filled. I don't want to get, you know, any of this filled. We're addicts, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to have to use it. And she said, you know what, hon? I can give you, like, you know, it's 8 o'clock at night, you know, make it through the night, and I'm here at 8 o'clock in the morning. I'll give you one at a time, you know, if you need it. We never needed it, you know, and that's like knock on wood, because we've been lucky enough not to have anything, well, some big things he's gone through, so, you know, but lucky enough not to have that. And I've seen others have to, and just, you know, there's so many tricks with it, though, you know, that if you can give your prescription to somebody and have it doled out, and only when you really need it. You know, I did have it for a migraine headache and that, and I would only take one if I was going to bed. You know, and not like so I could go do stuff. It was like so I could make it and go to bed, and that was it. You know, not try to go to work with a migraine. There's just so many tricks to this and staying clean. But most of it is having people around you who can, you know, be there for you and tell you how you're doing and tell you maybe you're not doing so good and you need to do this. And I don't know, I guess that's the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. No, I've never seen anything out there that works like this program does. There's something about it that it works, and I'm so glad to see it continuing, you know, from that 14 meetings my first year, you know. And I don't know, I should do the research how many meetings are in the PASNA area now. But, I mean, then we've expanded the group so I mean, it's just so huge. And it is amazing. And it's good to see going on, you know, and I'm glad it's hitting people, and I'm glad it's getting out there so other people don't have to live like that again. That you never have to take that first one again is a really, really neat thing. That you know, this program, it works, and I hope you're all blessed with this gift, you know. And thanks for asking me to be here, and Emily couldn't be here, and so I thank you, Emily, wherever you are, and thank you guys for being here, and thanks.